off with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I'm going to take the plane out for a spin. You want to come with?
Me? Go. Fly?
I played it cool, but I was pretty jazzed.
I love to fly. I love to do most anything. If I could fly, then I would be the king. I'll be the king of the world.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along, Captain Dennis, and RV Tom. All right, bad fuel. You don't want to be like this guy who was flying the goose and lost power because they had water in his fuel and ended up, you know, crashing the airplane. I mean, who knows if it could have been avoided. I mean, the airline evidently thinks it could have. That's why they're suing the pilot, but the pilot's suing the airline because they gave him bad gas. So who knows who's to blame? We'll find out. They'll figure it out in court. But look, I've been in a situation when I was flying with some private pilots. Matter of fact, it was a particular trip to Eleuthera in the Bahamas. And it's what inspired me to start Just Plane Radio. I was talking to the pilot that was flying me over, and we had a nice little chat on the way over. And I was watching what he was doing, and I said, how hard is this stuff to do? He goes, I can do it. It's like flying a car. I mean, you know, driving a car. I mean, just different protocols. It's not that hard to do. If I can do it, you can do it too, Greg. And I'm like, all right, well, maybe we ought to do something with this. And that was the germ of an idea that inspired me to start Just Plane Radio. But
for
on that
you,
trip,
paying attention,
well,
the Bahamas are to blame now.
Well, okay, or credit. I mean, but yeah, probably blame is probably more appropriate. But regardless, we got over there, had a really fun little adventure. There was a couple of pilot friends. It was him and another guy had a, gosh, what was it, a Baron or something? I forget. But he had like a Cessna 182 that was souped up pretty good. And so we kind of flew over there, and the other guy had a couple people in his plane. I was in this guy's plane, and we went and hung out for a few days and had a great visit there in the Bahamas. But while we were there, we were touring around the island. You know, it's an out island of the Bahamas. So it's pretty remote, and it's perfect for a fly-in. And if you've never done anything like that, you owe it to yourself to do it. But we were walking around the island one afternoon, and I noticed some of those 55-gallon, cans sitting around not far from the airport. And when I started talking to some of the local Bahamians, I said, what is that? And they said, well, that's our fuel. And I'm like, oh, it was like, yeah, if we get a situation where one of the planes needs some fuel, we just truck this over. But they had this whole kind of environmental program where they were taking garbage and old oil from cooking or something and turning it into fuel. It was a very green type of program that they were extremely proud of. It didn't look like the best outcome in the world as far as like, this is what we use to power, you know, aircraft. I mean, it might work in, you know, some of the mowers or whatever machinery and stuff like that. But I said, can you actually put this in an airplane? He's like, well, you could. Would I advise it? And this wasn't the Bahamian. This was the pilot that I was flying with. He goes, oh, hell no. I was like, I would never put that in my plane, even though technically it could potentially work. And also, by the way, some of it they would use for fuel. Some of it they would use to drink. So it was probably high enough proof on either side. So, it kind of came from the same batch, so to speak. So they were kind of brewing or moonshining up their own fuel there on the island.
Well, that would basically prevent me from putting it anywhere near an airplane, because if you look at all of the auto fuel conversion options that are out there, they all exclude any ethanol from the fuel.
Well,
it has to be.
I don't know. They're just looking
Rotax engines for anything, story, but I don't think they'll allow you to run a Rotax on 100% ethanol.
Well, they won't allow it, but will it run? I mean, like in a pinch, if you had no option.
Do you want to be the test pilot?
No,
I guess,
God, no. But if you, you know, so I mean, the thing is, these guys, they had their planes. They had planned this trip out, and it's like, you know, we're flying over to the Luthra and we're coming back, and we got plenty of fuel to get back and forth without having to pick up any fuel over there in the islands and rolling the dice. Because even if it was a more, you know, standard fuel supply place, I mean, they got, you know, good fuel, I'm sure, throughout the, especially the main areas of the Bahamas, like Nassau and Freeport and all those kind of places that are used to aviation a little bit more. But when you get to one of these out island places, I mean, it's just like if you're driving your car and going to some shady, you know, gas station that you don't recognize the name, it's not one of the big guys, you might be rolling the dice on what you're really getting in there. You don't know, I guess. I mean, it's supposed to be good gas, but it, you know, you hear about it all the time. You get bad gas in your car, you could be in big trouble, and you don't want to have that happen if you're flying your airplane. So the best way to avoid that situation in general is just not to roll the dice at all and make sure you have enough fuel to get back and forth from any kind of out island situation like that. Right, Dennis?
Absolutely. You don't want to have to trust that the FBO, if there even is one at these out islands, nope, is, you know, properly adhering to, you know, the quality control and management of the fuel and making sure that they're doing the testing that's required. You know, you come to FBOs here in the States and, you know, they're all following the NATA guidelines and things like that, that say, you know, you have to test the fuel, check the filters, sample, sump the trucks, you know, every day, all these things have to be done. And I would imagine that some of the more laid back islands in the Caribbean, I'm not going to pick on any one country,
right?
But I would imagine that they're maybe a little bit more lax on
the standards
on a regular basis.
Aren't quite up to snuff sometimes. So you need to definitely figure that out as part of your flight plan. There's definitely good fuel to get, but you got to do your research and make sure that you're not stuck in some real out island place that, you know, it's just some guy that shows up every now and then, or you got to call someone to fuel up your airplane because there's never anybody there because they're on the island time, man. Yeah.
Good planning on your part too might prevent some very excessive charges, because I'm a mad, you know, I've looked at the, you know, like flying down the Turks and Caicos and places like that. And if you look at the cost of avgas at some of these Caribbean islands, it's eye watering.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'll get you, you know, but
I'm pleased paying $4 a gallon, you know, roughly, you know, here in Central Florida. But $10 a gallon?
Yeah.
That would be considered a bargain in the Caribbean.
It would be, for sure. And once again, ideally, if you can hold enough fuel to get back and forth and avoid it all together, that's probably your best bet. But sometimes you can't. But you got to figure that into the mix, or, like, you know, what are some of the bigger airports or islands that you can visit if you do have to top off for whatever reason on your trek throughout the Caribbean and stuff, so you don't get any of that, you know, the water and the gas. I mean, yeah, I mean, these 55-gallon drums that they were using in the Bahamas when we visited, they were all rusted. They looked like hell. And I'm like, this is what the fuel is in? I was like, okay, I'm glad we don't need any. I don't think I'm going to drink any of it either, just for the record. Oh, no, it's good, man. Come on, man. I'll show you a good time. I'm like, nope, I'm good.
I'll stick go to blind it. From that stuff.
Well, possibly. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, so it's just good planning. That's what you need to do, Dennis, or keep in mind if you want to do a little island hopping like that or what.
Right. You know, look at your options, and, you know, while it may not be as cheap as going to one of these smaller islands, maybe going to something with a jet center in its name might be the safer option.
Yeah.
You know, just because you know that they'll have the fuel on hand. You know, what are the chances you get to this out island? Oh yeah, we list Hunter Lolet, but we've been out of that for, you know, for weeks, and you know, planned on stopping there. So,
right.
Yeah, that's definitely something. And, you know, it might even be worth, you know, working with one of these services like Caribbean Flying Adventures or somebody like that, that, you know, has had people out there and can confirm who's got good fuel.
That's right. Ask available. Around. The info's out there online for sure too, to check up on this stuff, so you don't become a statistic. All right. More coming up on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.